Hi, Roberto. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Welcome. Thank you very much.
Now, you're originally from Trieste, Italy?
Yes. Yes. Northern Italy, just at the border to Slovenia.
What's the music scene like in that city?
In my city in Trieste, okay, we have a big school, jazz school here, and there are a couple of jazz clubs. So I think it's the average jazz scene that we have in Italy.
Are you able to find much work living there?
I think that the city of Trieste is located in the heart of Middle Europe, so it's quite easy to travel, to move to from my city to Austria, Slovenia, also to Munich, so it's quite in a strategic. It's quite a strategic location, and that's it's helpful for my working.
Do you come from a musical family?
No, I am the only one who is actually playing an instrument. I started, also my son is playing piano, but I have no other musicians in my family.
So what was it that made you interested in jazz?
But when I was a boy, I started to get piano lessons at the age 4, because a neighbor had piano lessons. So my mother asked the same teacher to also teach to me. And I grew up with music. When I was 16, you know, more or less, I get a interested in jazz rock, because it was the middle of the 70s, and from jazz rock I moved to jazz gradually. Anyway, my first jazz long playing, the first long playing that I bought was one by Oscar Peterson, the Way I Really Play, this is the title, and I was quite shocked by listening to Oscar Peterson.
What was it about his playing that shocked you?
Yeah, it was this recording, the way I really play, but I especially the harmonic way, you know, it was a big difference, the sound of jazz in comparison with the sound of classical music that I used to play, and also in comparison with the rock. I found a lot of harmony and also a great technique, so I was amazed by listening to Oscar Peterson. So I wanted to discover what was behind, and so I started with that.
He was a major influence in your early development?
I started, my first approach to jazz was Oscar Peterson, but after this recording I more and more dig Bobby Timmons and Bud Powell, and I mainly dig the tradition, even if in the late 70s we had a lot of free jazz in Italy and Europe. But in that period I was more interested in traditional jazz. And so after the bebop musicians, I moved to McCoy Tyner, and then I discovered the free jazz much later.
When it comes to the piano, is there a specific brand of piano that you like to play?
Well, in Europe, we have a lot of, I think, old pianos, but made by local factories, still working. And so we have a lot of Austrian or German, also Italian pianos. And that's not bad, but okay, they are quite unique pieces. Of course, very good is the Fazioli brand. It is an Italian kind of piano. And also the Yamaha I like. I think when I find a Yamaha in the clubs, I'm happy, because it's a good instrument. And I think we have many, many, many brands, many, many types of piano.
When you're playing in a club, does it take you long to set up the piano?
Yeah, I think that it's complicated quite to find a good volume balance. So sometimes if it's it happens that they have a good piano but they have a bad amplification system, and that's that's quite a sad story. So sometimes I bring with me also my digital piano, and even if they have an acoustic piano, I prefer to play the digital piano because of the amplification, because it's very important that a musician can hear each other on stage. Is not only with the monitors outside for the audience, no, and it's very difficult for the club owners to understand this, that also the musician needs to listen to each other.
The great trumpet player Enrico Rav is also from Trieste. What are your thoughts on him as a performer?
I think he's one of the best jazz musicians we have in Italy. Yes, he actually was born in my city, but he moved to Milan or Turin when he was a boy. Actually, he was not grow up in Trieste, and also he moved to the States, I think, when he was around 20. Anyway, he's a great musician. I like very much his melodic approach to jazz.
Yeah. You recently performed with Riccardo Cavalli. What was that experience like for you?
Ah, yeah, Riccardo Cavalli, yeah, the Argentinian saxophone player. Yes. Yeah. In end of June and beginning of July, I was touring in South America, and I played with Riccardo. He's really a great musician. I think he has also a very melodic approach to jazz. I really appreciate his playing, because I played with him also some compositions that I usually played here in Europe with my band and with European musicians. And I found a certain way that Riccardo has to treat the melody like a little bit Gatto Barbieri, that Latin flavor. And so he gave me new colors to my music. I really enjoyed working with him.
What is your earliest musical memory?
Classical music, I think Tchaikovsky. When I was a boy, I liked very much the Russian classical authors, because they have a little a kind of melancholy, melancholic feeling in their music, and I was really moved by that kind of music coming from Russia. Tchaikovsky, Rachmaninoff, Prokofiev, that kind of music I played in my youth. I think it's not far away from jazz in a certain way, because the harmony is full of diminished and dominant chords, and so it's a sort of relationship. I think also Bill Evans found that kind of relationships, and I had this feeling that like a crossover between classical music and jazz music. That's my experience.
Yeah, it's certainly a very rich brand of classical music. You know, when you listen to Shostakovich or Rachmaninoff, it's very deep on many levels, and I think a lot of jazz artists can really borrow from that.
Yes, I think, yeah, there is something special, I think. But also the rhythm, of course, is totally different from classical music to jazz. The idea that piano is a rhythmic instrument, it's a little bit shocking for a classical piano player, because a pianist usually has in mind the harmony and the melodies, no? I think in jazz it's very important to think that it's piano can be a percussion instrument also, and you have to play in a rhythm section, so you have to think also to play together the bass and drums. That's the interesting thing for a jazz to be a jazz pianist. Yeah. On the contrary, when you are a classical musician, I think piano is more an instrument for a soloist, also to play harmony and melody, I think, mostly.
Roberto, do you ever find time to practice?
I have to find time to practice, even if I have to struggle a little bit with my son, But okay, I think some years ago I was more concentrated in technique and scales and that kind of stuff. But now I think I like to improvise and to compose, to dedicate to some special themes. I think I'm trying to catch the essence of jazz. I think, okay, I am nearly 50, and so I think every age has his own path, no, to follow. I think now it's important to condensate the experience. So I play a lot of at home, but I don't really practice.
Do any of your compositions develop as a result of practicing? Like if you were, for example, just freeform practicing, and maybe a melody develops out of that, and maybe eventually a composition?
Sometimes I'm walking and suddenly a melody pops up in my mind, and so I run home to try to develop that melody. Or many other, or maybe it happens that I have a book, an old book, where I write some ideas. I have been writing ideas for the last 20 years, and sometimes I just play that old ideas, and then I develop, and maybe at the end the result is totally different from the point of departure. But it's a way to start from a sure point, and then to compose, to create something new.
Do you remember the most inspiring concert that you ever attended?
I remember a great concert by McCoy Tyner on trio in Ljubljana, Slovenia Jazz Festival many years ago. That was really a great inspiration for me. Okay, but so many. The last one, I think, I was really impressed recently by the Roy Hargrove R.H. Factor, his hip-hop band that I attended this band in Umbria Jazz, and I found it very interesting. Also a font of inspiration, because I am also very interested as a parallel interest also to hip-hop and that kind of urban music.
Is there anything from McCoy's style of playing that you picked up on and maybe incorporated into your own style?
Well, I think it's impossible for a contemporary pianist not to be influenced by McCoy Tyner, of course. Before McCoy Tyner, the jazz piano came from Bud Powell and the hard bop players like Wynton Kelly, Tommy Flanagan. After McCoy, everybody has to pay tribute to his style. But okay, I am also interested in the work of other pianists like Steve Kuhn or Andrew Hill, Randy Weston. I like the percussive and rhythmic, polyrhythmic way of playing the piano too. It's not easy, because maybe it's associated to Afro-American musicians. Of course, I am a European, but I think
there's a,
it must be easy.
Yeah. Sorry? No, there's an Italian pianist that I've always liked, and I'm sure you know of him, Franco D'Andrea.
Yes, Franco D'Andrea is also a good, very good musician. He is from the northern Italy. Yeah, he is also he has a mathematical way of playing the piano. I think in a positive sense. I think he's really analyzed his music, and it's very well made. Very well made. It's very interesting.
Are there any up and coming musicians on the scene today that you're excited about? You mentioned Roy Hargrove, but any other new musicians?
Yeah, I like very much Greg Osby. I think Greg Osby is a very intelligent musician of the new generation. And, well, there are so many, I think. It's very difficult to say.
Now you've a band. Your band is called Europlane. Yeah. How did that group come about?
Well, it starts from my experience of living in the middle of Europe, and I also used to play a lot in the East European countries at the communist age when they have the iron curtain. Come si dice? I don't know.
Yeah, the iron curtain.
And when the world changed, I kept in touch with the old friends, and so I wanted to play with them again in this new situation of freedom, and so I invited them to perform in my city, and we had a permanent workshop here. So that was the origin of Europlane. Of course, we need quite a lot of money to keep this alive, and so it's not easy. So I had to move from a large ensemble to a smaller one. Actually, I have the possibility to perform on quintet, sextet as a maximum size. Anyway, I'm still in touch. I'm inviting constantly musicians from Austria, Germany, Hungary, Czech Republic. That's it. I think, okay, something similar to what the Vienna Art Orchestra makes as a starting point. But yes. Okay, there are so many good musicians also in this part of Europe.
Yeah, you've got that right. Are you a self-taught musician, or did you receive any formal training?
I had a formal training as a classical pianist. About jazz, I am a self-taught musician, because when I started to play in the late 70s, we had no jazz schools in Italy still operating, and also it was not so trendy to come to Boston to the Berklee School yet. So I had to listen to the recordings, to buy a couple of methods, trying to translate into Italian from English. I'm still struggling with the English language, as you can hear. That's it. That's it. Yeah, I think I am self-taught. Yeah.
What does jazz mean to you?
I think it's the freedom to express what we feel and how we have developed our humanity. I think we are the same. We have the same essence of life, but we are changing every day, I think. And so, jazz, thanks to improvisation and thanks to the great democracies that exist on stage between all the musicians, we need the other partner, musical partners, to make the music together. And so this form of expression, I think it gives us great freedom and I think greater humanity. I think it's very important to give these to transmit these also to the audience, to the people. It's like a right, a little bit.
If there was only one musician living today that you could perform or even make a record with, who would that be?
Maybe James Moody. James Moody, because he's one of the very few grandmasters from the bebop period. And I think maybe he's, I wouldn't say overrated, but maybe forgotten, maybe,
yeah.
Today. Yeah, and I've also listened to a concert of him a few years ago. I was astonished, because I think he must be 80 or more or less, but he has a lot of energy and he really still play.
Yeah, he's still recording and he's still on the scene giving concerts, and I don't know what keeps these guys going, but it's got to be a love for music. You know, I love your arrangement of I Remember You. That's from your album Check-In.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's a really inspired intro featuring a wonderful sax battle, and I couldn't help but think that this is something that Phil Woods might have done.
Well, I think that it's a nice combination between two horns and drums. I like this to leave alone the horns with the drums without a piano and bass. I think Coltrane used to do this for the first, and I like this very much. So I had idea to start with this kind of solo drums with horns, and then to add the melody later, and trying to open the harmonic part, and maybe to put more in evidence the rhythm or instead of the harmony. It's like a, I think, no, pretesto. I don't know the word in English. Okay, it was just an idea and a starting point. The melody of I Remember You,
mm-hmm.
And then
how did the
hard
session
to express.
Yeah, how did the sessions come about for the album Check-In?
I had in mind the sound of Tony Lakatos and also the sound of Mickey Arian, the two tenor saxophone players. And so they sound quite differently, because Tony has a strong, deep voice, whether Mickey is more in the West Coast side style. And so I had this in mind. On the other side, I also improvised a little bit. I composed a couple of tunes just a week before our meeting, and some other tunes are all old compositions of mine that I had never a chance to record. So I arranged something, and another part I left open, because I think it's very important not to organize all, but always leave something open to the possibility of expression of each single musician, either at the concert, but even more at a recording session.
Is there any musical setting that you prefer to play in? For example, a solo group or a big band or whatever?
I think I have a kind of different repertoire. The kind of different program, if I play on solo, on duo or trio. Some years ago I played a lot on trio. For a period I had a quartet, now I have this more large ensemble with this Europlane. Okay, but I try to alternate. I'm always looking for different possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's very important to get inspiration from different kind of situations,
What projects do you have underway for the rest of 2006?
Well, in a couple of weeks I will be in Los Angeles, where I will play at the Catalinas Jazz Club and the Jazz Bakery. I was invited there by the Paul Collins, who is a very nice agent manager in the United States, and he also arranged for me a stellar group, because I will play there with the legendary bass player Art Davis, the Coltrane's and Dizzy Gillespie's former bassist, and this will be a great honor for me, and also responsibility, I think, to play with him. Yeah, and also I will play with Tony Lakatos, who is my usual partner here in Europe, and also with American drummers John Alesi and Scooter Powell. And okay, I think it will be very interesting. We will play three concerts, and also we will make a recording session. So I'm preparing in these days some new compositions. So that's really exciting.
Yeah.
And okay, then in November we go to Gabon. It's in Africa, Equatorial Africa. And then maybe Nicaragua in December. I'm traveling a lot this year, and I'm very happy, because there are many inspirations from different countries and continents. That's beautiful.
Yeah, you must pick up a lot of influences when you're traveling, different musical elements that you incorporate into your music.
Well, I am trying to do. Of course, sometimes it's not possible because the culture is too different. But I think the feelings of the different places remain in my mind, and there are maybe hidden inspirations. They reappear maybe after a while, but I think it's very important to meet different people, to meet different situations, and to try to transpose it in music.
Was Blues for My Sleeping Baby written for one of your children?
Yes, I composed for my children, for my son when he was a child. I think it's I had in mind a sort of bluesy lullaby. And then it remained a little bit this time. Yeah.
I get the feeling that Miles Davis inspired you in regards to how the piece is arranged.
Okay, thank you for your feeling. Yeah, it's a dark dark melody a little bit. No, it's medium, so yeah.
The first time I heard it, it reminded me of his arrangements from the kind of blues sessions.
Yeah, it can be. Yeah. I didn't have in mind the kind of blue, but maybe more the blues form of Roland Kirk, maybe something more raw blues. But when it's a lullaby, so it had to be a medium slow tempo.
You mentioned that one of your children is currently playing keyboards and piano. Is he playing jazz or?
But he is interested in jazz. He's 17 years old. He used to have a sort of jazzy band, but now he's more involved in reggae, unfortunately for me. I hope he will leave soon.
When I began listening to Check-In, I noticed that one of my favorite sax players was on that session, and you kept bringing him up over the interview, Tony Lakatos. And I've always loved his approach to the instrument. What are your thoughts on this great talent?
Well, I think that he is 1 year older than me. He comes from Hungary, and it's a great talent, even more greater because he comes from Hungary and from the former Iron Curtain, as we told before,
right.
And that kind of jazz from East European countries was a lot of inspired by Coltrane, especially in the 70s, and so all that kind of musician are very much rooted in Coltrane, even musically, but also spiritually, I think, and they spread their music starting from Coltrane, but of course he's a great musician. He can play everything, and I'm very happy to collaborate with him. Also because he never plays the same solo. Never. He's very creative. He has a very creative approach to jazz.
Did it take you long to write and arrange the material for Check-In?
As I told you, I had something in mind. I proposed something new, something old, and I left also something open for working on studio. I had also not much time in that period because 1 month earlier I had the meeting with Herb Geller, so it was really a rush that I think it was 2 years ago, 3 years ago, yeah.
When it comes to writing and arranging, who have been some of your influences?
Well, I especially like Kenny Wheeler, the way he arranges for large ensembles, and that kind of I think European, if you allow me to say this this way, European kind of arranging for the ECM a little bit, but
yes.
As a starting point, but of course I like also to include the blues feeling that maybe in that kind of style is always missing. I have also I give very a lot of. For me, it's important also to think who are the musicians involved in the project, and also to arrange and to compose, having in mind who is taking part of the project.
Your latest recording is entitled Il Bello del Jazz. Does that mean the beauty of jazz?
Yeah, that's the meaning. I chose that the title because it was a great pleasure for me to meet Herb Geller, because Herb Geller is featured in this recording, and it was a trip thanks to him in the essence of traditional jazz, mainstream, modern mainstream jazz, and so he brought some beautiful standards. We played really in the tradition. At the end, I had the impression that was really the beauty of jazz, and so that's the reason that why I chose this title.
With your latest release, I noticed that the lineup has changed since Check-In. Were you trying to attain a different sound with this lineup?
Well, to tell the truth, originally I had invited also a trumpet player, but he was sick and he couldn't come, and I had to rearrange all the program just in a few days. I was happy all the same at the end, because we had more space for solos. Especially me, because we played on also some tunes on a quartet, and so it was more a session, a sort of live session on studio, more than a very prepared recording session. And it was fresh. I think quite fresh. Also because Herb brought a lot of material that we had never seen before, and it was a pleasure, a joy to discover his music with him.
Yeah, I found that by bringing in Herb Geller, he changed the dynamics quite a bit, and I find that his sound is smoother. It sort of reminds me of Bud Shank's unique voice. What were your reasons for including Herb on this recording?
I have been admire Herb for many years, since I was a young guy. I bought by chance an LP by Herb, and I was very impressed by his sound, because it seemed to me quite strange that everybody he knew and knows Stan Getz, Bud Shank, a lot of people. Maybe Herb, I wouldn't say that he's forgotten, but maybe because of his living in Germany, maybe he's not really in the first position, maybe also in the recording shops, in record shops, and I always had the impression that he's actually now maybe a little bit forgotten, I'd say, or overrated, but he's really a great master, and he's still playing, in a creative way. I think he's really a great master, one of the last great masters.
No doubt about
jazz
it.
That we have.
Yeah, that's for sure. Did it take you a long time to write and arrange the material for Il Bello del Jazz?
Yeah, as I told you, I had to prepare some material to play in quintet with Herb and trumpet player, but we had to change, and so we decided mostly the most of the program on studio, just immediately. For example, a couple of tunes, we played only the first track, and that was okay, and we kept. I had never played a couple of tunes before. Okay, but I wouldn't say that I didn't know. I like to play in that style, to have an approach to have in mind, for example, Teddy Wilson, Lou Levy, and the musician of West Coast, and Tommy Flanagan, that kind of masters I like to have in mind during that recording session, to dig the tradition.
I'm not that familiar with Darko Jurevic. He has such a rich, fluid approach to the guitar, and it seems to blend in nicely with the overall sound of each track that he performs on. How did you discover Darko, and was it a conscious decision on your part to introduce another element to the recording?
Well, I have known Darko for many years because he lives in Croatia, in a city of Rijeka, which is just 60 kilometers away from my city, so we are very close. And he plays with a Stanley Jordan technique. It's really amazing to see him playing, and he's such a talent. I think it was a good element for this session because he has a bebop phrasing, and so it's very complementary to Herb phrasing, and he also changed the sounds a little bit. So I think it was the good musician for that session.
Roberto, I want your thoughts on the Black Saint label. This label, as well as Soul Note and Red, have been around for a long time, and I think that they put Italy on the map when it comes to great jazz. So what are your thoughts on this important label and the contributions that the Bonandrini family have made to this great music and to Italy?
Oh, they had a great contribution they give us. I think that Soul Note, Black Saint, is actually the most important recording jazz label that we have in Italy, and also one of the most important independent labels in Europe, and I think also in the world. It's very, very known. I think they are very open-minded and also creative in their own, because they give a lot of space to the black musicians like Billy Harper, George Adams, Andrew Hill, Jackie Byard. There are so great names in the catalog. Mm. And when I was a teenager, I grew up with the Soul Note, with the Soul Note LPs. One of my first LPs was really the Black Saint by the title Black Saint by Billy Harper, and mm-hmm. and they kept on producing great recordings for more than 20 years, and they are still there, mm-hmm. struggling and to propose new musicians, and I'm very grateful and very proud to be part of such a team. And also now is the Bonandrini son, Flavio Bonandrini, is running the machine, the Soul Note machine. Is very passionate and working hard, but it's not easy. Of course,
I always look at Black Saint as the equivalent to ECM in Germany, as being a label of great significance.
Yeah,
you know, it's I don't know if is Giovanni still alive or.
Yeah, it's still alive. Yes. He's still behind the scenes, so he's still listening to the new musician, to the new entries, and yeah, he's still involved.
Over the years, it's been difficult for musicians to stay in close contact with their fans. Now, the internet has changed all that. What has been your take on the internet and the way that you relate to your fans now?
That's very good. I think internet is a great thing for jazz musicians, because you can be directly in touch with fans, with other musicians, with the organizers, it's very good. Also, you can also get immediately informations, and also you can download music. I think there is only one maybe not so positive part. The fact that about downloads, because I think that jazz music is the jazz recording must contain all the composition. Is not, you cannot download just one single track,
right?
Because you get only a partial idea of what the musician wanted to say and wanted to record. I see my son, my daughter, they download one single track and they listen to that that song, you know. I think that's bad behavior, yeah, starting also about jazz fans of the young generation to download only one tune or just to have
Here's a good example. Pink Floyd's album, Dark Side of the Moon. Hmm. If you were to release just download one track from that album, you're missing a whole lot more, you know.
Yeah.
Or even Kind of Blue, you know, if you listen to that, if you just download one track, it doesn't make sense.
In fact, that's I'm afraid, you know, about the future of jazz on the internet.
Yeah. One thing that strikes me about the two recordings that I have of yours is that you're able to extract such beauty from the musicians, and this is reflected in their playing.
Thank you. I thank you for this. Well, what can I say? Let's hope to keep on.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. It's now in a few weeks. You're going to be, is it releasing a new album, the Alphabeats New Jazz?
Yeah, also this is another story. As I told you, I am also interested in hip-hop and that kind of urban jazz and urban music. And I have been playing also with this band for many years. And we have also this new recording. The title is Stones, and the band name is Alphabeats, written with the F, not the PH, because we are Italians.
Now, pretty soon, the English label Erision will be releasing on CD some of your older recordings.
Yeah, that's also, it was very surprising for me, because I got a phone call, I think last year, by the Erision manager from London. He was interested in reissuing my old long planes, and so he did it. Yeah. And so I had this recording from the 1980 and 1985, two long planes, just reissued by this label. Okay, I understand that it must be market of CD collectors, probably collectors items. It's not a huge market, of course, but it gives me great satisfaction this to know that somebody is still interested in my old recordings.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit ashamed also, because I was much younger, so maybe I wouldn't do all those mistakes, probably, or maybe ingenuity. But okay, it was my youth.
Mm. Well, Roberto, thanks a lot for dropping by today. It's been a real pleasure having you on the show.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you, Randy, and thank you for... I hope that you can, and the listeners can understand at least the half of what I told you.
Oh,
because
definitely.
My language is so and so, but I was improvising. I'm used to improvise also.
The only way to go.